Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the ever-improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate, and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage and MLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs, wants, and that is our guarantee. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's very limited inventory market, when you do find the home you want to make sure that your offer is as competitive as possible. We see multiple offers in many situations today. We want to make sure that your offer wins. And the way for that to happen is to make sure that it's as strong as possible in the eyes of the seller. A pre-purchase commitment is the equivalent of cash and is just that strong. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700 for a personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And check out that low rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, all through the markets we serve. Our local number is 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. No matter what sign's in front, remember this number, 631-4800. Dial that number and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description. And then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. It's all automatic and just that fast. Anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. And you'll drive by a sign and see all kinds of things on it, QR codes, pictures, two different websites, phone numbers. All you need to do is remember one number, 631-4800, and all the rest will be automatic. We have a very, very tight real estate market right now in terms of inventory. It may be an opportunity for you like you've never had before to maximize the equity in your home. If you want to find out exactly what your home is worth, you want to talk to a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional, call 633-9400. And when you get one of our professionals on the phone, ask them about our seller security plan. It's the only one that will give you the kind of assurance you really need in today's market. And very simply, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans, and go Sabres, finally a victory. That's a great thing to see. We are broadcast live here on WBEN 930 AM. If you'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is call us at 803-0930 or text us at 803-0930. If you're long distance, you can call us at 1-800-616-9236. And if you're mobile, star 930, those are all free calls. We have a very special show for you today. I have two guests with us today. Our first guest is Tara Ellis. Mrs. Ellis is the head of Feed More Western New York. I'm sorry, I guess Catherine's not with us. Excuse me. Tara, welcome back. It's good to have you back on the show. Last time you were on, we had a very interesting discussion about the stresses that your organization was under given the pandemic. How are you doing today and how have you adapted?
Well, you know, Peter, it's obviously been a whirlwind of a year for everybody, and, you know, we've not been any exception to that. You know, we've really had to adapt on the fly, truthfully, and that's been through, you know, increasing a lot of numbers in our programs. It's been through shifting the way that we do some of our service. So, for example, you know, I think you know that we serve everybody from zero to infinity. Right now, our oldest client, I believe, is 104. And so for a lot of clients that used to come to one of our dining sites, they just couldn't anymore because those sites are really tailored for people 60 years of age and older. And that was exactly the population that was being cautioned not to go out because of risk of COVID. So pretty much overnight, our home-delivered meal program more than doubled. We started the year serving a little over 3,000 home-delivered meal clients and added another 3,700 throughout the course of last year. So You know, it's just been, you know, shifting and evolving and being as nimble as possible. Pretty much all of our programs saw some sort of an impact. You know, for example, our backpack program for our children that we used to bring backpacks right to the schools and have them handed out on Thursdays or Fridays for children to help them get through the weekend. Now we're having to find, you know, new ways to pair with schools so that when those schools and breakfasts were going out, they were getting the backpacks at the same time. Of course, many schools now are back to at least a hybrid model, if not full school. So a lot of those programs are back to a traditional service method, but, you know, we are finding that we're just continuing to serve many, many more. And I think that's going to be the same for a long time. We're hearing from economists and some of our national trade partners to be prepared to serve at these feeding levels for about 5 years.
You know, it's interesting, Tara, as you look at the condition in the economy, it seems like there's two economies out there. One is the one that we would notice by looking at what's going on in the various stock markets, for example.
Yep.
And from all indications, that things are looking pretty darn good if you're an investor today, or if you're fortunate enough to be able to put some money into that kind of market. But if you're not, it's an interesting fact that only about 50% of the people in this country own one share of stock in anything. Mm. So we've got 50% of the population that really falls outside of that, what appears to be a rather booming economy. I'm assuming that's where your population exists.
Unfortunately, yes. And, you know, the dichotomy between those two halves of our, you know, human reality is really where you see a huge drop off the cliff, unfortunately, Peter. I mean, so many of those individuals, you know, we knew before the pandemic started, you know, had been telling us that they were literally only one paycheck away from being in crisis. And of course, when COVID hit and so many people got furloughed, that one paycheck didn't last very long, and people found themselves, you know, standing in food lines and going through drive-through emergency food kit distributions that never, ever, ever thought they would ever need help from anyone, because while they might not have had much, they were doing okay and keeping the pieces together for their families. Now, all of a sudden, they found themselves in abject crisis where they couldn't even put food on the table for their children. And our hearts just break for those people. We feel really fortunate to be here to be able to help them. And we definitely saw that need. I mean, you know, we distributed about 16 million meals last year, and that was about 4 million more meals than we did the previous year in 2019. So, you know, we're seeing that impact, you know, live and in person every single day.
Well, that's a 33% increase year over year, which is pretty shocking if you think about it, just in 1 year. Prior to that, had been relatively stable, Tara, in terms of year over year number of meals that you served?
Well, we were seeing a modest increase year over year, and we would see fluctuations where we'd see a year that we would increase quite a bit in home-delivered meals, and then maybe we'd see an increase in our pantry program. But, you know, an increase like this in one fell swoop, and, you know, we're giving you annual years, but, you know, we had a spike at one point in time where our home-delivered meals was literally serving 60% more than it had the year before, our food pantries and our soup kitchens serving over 50% more than it had the previous year. And I think we're going to continue to see a little bit of that roller coaster until the economy really can recover for people at those lowest income levels. And until we can find ways to make people more self-sustainable, you know, we're going to be on this ride for quite a long time.
And as you look at the horizon, you're a well-informed individual. How do you see that evolving where more people can frankly get out of that kind of crisis mode that so many people found themselves in during the pandemic?
I think there are so many different pieces to it. I mean, you know, one of them is workplace readiness for individuals. And, you know, we're really feel very blessed that we can be a very tiny, small portion of, you know, working toward a solution to that, because we've actually launched a program late last year called RISE, Readying Individuals for Success in Employment. And it's to teach people the skill sets they need to work either in a warehouse or, you know, eventually next year we're hoping to launch our culinary phase as well. But you can't just teach people those basic skill sets, because you know, if you haven't had that opportunity to learn things like financial literacy or showing up to work on time and why that's an important thing to do, ways to secure childcare, ways to ensure that you have sustainable transportation. Transportation is, you know, in a significant crisis mode in our community. Until you can teach people all of those wraparound skills, you know, they can't drag themselves out of that, you know, constant crisis and constant trauma that they are trapped in. So, you know, we really have to look at everything that we do with all of the workforce development programs that are happening across our community and look at them all as wraparound services. Now, you know, this is a great time to be here in Western New York when you think about workforce development, Peter, because there's lots of these programs that are popping up and getting started. And, you know, we really just hope to be a small part of that solution in shortening the line at our food pantries and soup kitchens. And we hope to work with our other partners in the community that are also launching workforce development programs. You know, wonderful places that have been doing it for years and years and years, like Goodwill, and other programs that are just starting to spring up as new. You know, only together can we, you know, try to work toward this solution. And of course, you know, employment stability and employment sustainability. And also, you know, we have to pay people a reasonable wage. And we're guilty of this in our own organization. We're always so stressed out about making sure that we have all the dollars we can possibly have to put into transportation and food that very often that ends up coming back to bite our employees. They don't get paid what we would like to pay them. And if our own employees are standing in a food line, what does that say? So I think we have to really take a whole hard look at ourselves as a community, as a culture, and, you know, try to figure out why is there this systemic poverty and why people are struggling. You know, even for funders and donors that look at nonprofits and say, we want you to do this as cheaply as possible, pennies on the dollar to get the job done. But does that really help our community and, you know, the families living in our community of all ages? It honestly really doesn't, Peter. You know, we really have to set people up to be able to be successful so they can start to be those people that even if they own a tiny little stock portfolio or save a little bit for retirement, that's the goal we want to get these people to, not to a place where they can't even afford to eat.
Tara, how does the fact that so many of the workplaces themselves have been shut down, how does that affect the population that you serve? Schools obviously are a critical piece of all that, but I mean, people being essentially forced into their home or forced behind closed doors and the whole distance that we have to create in society, has that just totally compounded the problem? And how do you see us evolving out of that? What are going to be the key factors in getting people back in circulation?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's put a critical amount of pressure on hunger relief organizations like ours all across the country, frankly. And, you know, I think this is where you come up with these shocking statistics of saying you're going to be feeding these numbers at least 5 years. And people say, well, how can that be? We're getting vaccinations now. Everything's going to be fine later this year. By early next year, everything will be, quote, unquote, back to normal. But to your point, Peter, it won't. Because when you look at all of these organizations, you know, restaurants that have gone out of business, bars that have gone out of business, you know, even manufacturers and distribution centers that have gone out of business, those are the types of jobs that these individuals were working in to keep the pieces at least a little bit together, and now they're gone. So, you know, I think it's going to take us years and years and years to rebuild those businesses. You know, as you know, my husband works in the world of economic development, and, you know, they're just trying to bring new companies and new businesses and maybe take a little bit of a new look and a new lens at the types of businesses we need to bring to our community. So we're going to have to really be innovative and creative as a community and really change and shift our thinking process about the ways that we do things. You know, we might not be the biggest fans of one company or another, but if we can find ways to bring those jobs and those companies into our local economy so that people can, you know, get those self-sustaining and reasonable wage jobs to, you know, keep their families on track, that's going to be critical. I completely agree with you. Getting children back into school and having structure for both families and children is also going to be an essential part of that equation. When parents are, you know, having to sit at a kitchen table and, you know, be teachers to their children, you know, how do they, you know, manage to try to get a job, even a low-wage job, and keep those pieces together? They simply can't do it. So, you know, it is not going to be as simple as one answer or another. It is going to be a layered-on approach of trying to ensure that we have the jobs in this community, that the jobs are paying fairly, and that people have this safety network and support network to get them through. And they may need that safety network, support network for 5 or 10 years into a job, Peter, because there's going to be a lot of fiscal catching up that these families are going to have to do to get back on track.
I couldn't agree more. And the fact that the workplace itself, the traditional office, many are just plain closed and may never open the way we knew them, that kind of takes away the whole concept of entry level. If you don't have that interaction, that human interaction, working with somebody else, having someone as a mentor physically near you that you can go to and study from, I just don't know how we get people over that entry-level hump without the environment, frankly, as we knew it. And I know, obviously, Tom is extremely well-versed in all this, but you must have very interesting conversations in terms of the evolution of that. Without us going back to, I hate to say going back, going forward to the modern workplace that includes human interaction, how do we get this whole process started that you're talking about in terms of the wraparound services, the workplace readiness? What if there's no workplace as we knew it?
Where I think the nimbleness and creativity has to come in, Peter, because, you know, we unfortunately, I don't think, can look to the way we've done things in the past. You know, so many workplaces are going to be evolving and be shifting, and some people will never go back into that office environment. But hopefully we are going to get back to a place where our service economy, our hospitality economy, those types of jobs will come back. They may come back very, very slowly. And as they come back, we have to shift our thinking and we have to evolve the way we approach those jobs. I think we have to be more open-minded and more inclusive to the types of individuals that we're willing to welcome into the workplace. It's a lesson even us in the human services nonprofits need to learn. Think about reshifting and reshaping the way we do things. You know, for us, we're going to be doing things completely differently. We're going to be launching container farms. We have one on our property right now. You know, we've been blessed that we received a grant to put another one on our property later this year. You know, our community garden is wonderful and great, and we love it, but living in Buffalo, that helps us grow food 3 or 4 months of the year. Our container farms will let us grow food and get it into the community 12 months out of the year. That's a big shift for us. You know, we know that we have to be part of that solution. So how can we start to increase wages for people? How do we start to launch different jobs and deliver food in different ways? We're going to be launching in probably May of this year mobile distribution markets where we're going to bring wholesale foods for sale at very, very low costs into our food deserts, both urban and rural and suburban, that do not have access to the grocery stores that so many of us take for granted, at costs that these people can, you know, afford, because, you know, unfortunately, you know, they just don't have the luxury of trying to buy those, you know, lovely $5 pint of strawberries that, you know, so many of us have the blessings to be able to afford. Everybody's thought processes, from human services organizations to corporations to foundations to donors, are going to have to be nimble and shift change. The way we've all been nimble and flexible throughout 2020 is going to have to set the stage for our future success. Together we can get there, but no individual organization or corporation is going to be able to do that on their own. We're going to have to turn things on their head and look at them completely differently.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Speaking of looking at things differently, and last couple minutes before we go to a break, tell us how Feed More has evolved. A lot of people don't know exactly what Feed More is and how you got where you are today.
Sure, I love to tell this story. Thank you for asking, Peter. You know, we are the merged organization of Meals on Wheels for Western New York and the Food Bank of Western New York. And, you know, we just had the idea and the vision that together we would be stronger. Together we would be able to ensure that nobody in Western New York, our four-county service area of Erie, Niagara, Cattaraugus, and Chautauqua, would slip through the cracks. And, you know, we honestly had just received Attorney General approval. We became merged on December 31 of 2019 and had planned last year to be our year of integration and transition. And then COVID hit. And, you know, integration and transition turned into nimble and flexible. So our buzzwords and our keywords have shifted really rapidly. And, you know, we feel very blessed that we did come together like that. All of those volunteers that I hope we can talk about when we come back after the break, and the donors that had supported both of our independent organizations, I think recognized the fiscal, you know, responsibility that went into this decision. And, you know, the consolidation has made us so much stronger. And truly, I think it has positioned us so much better than some of our peers, you know, both across the state and across the nation that are trying to do this work independently. The merger has proven to put us in a far better place to be able to manage the impact of this pandemic. So thank you so much for asking. We're really thrilled to be together as one hunger relief organization.
And I think what you've done, Tara, is to do what so many of us have talked about for so long in this community, in every community we serve, and that is that a good idea evolves, an organization is created, and then, you know, a couple of years later, they realize there's two or three others that are doing something similar, yet they've all built their own little infrastructure and their own little fiefdom, so to speak, and sometimes they resent the opportunity or the possibility of working together. And I applaud what you've done, because it can't be anything but more efficient than it was before with two different organizations. Is that the case, would you say?
Everywhere. We're saving money in efficiencies that we get from, you know, having one snowplow contract, one landscaper, one security system. You know, those efficiencies for us turn into food. And so I would really encourage every organization, you know, please don't be territorial. Don't think about your fiefdom. Don't think about, you know, all of those things that so many of us human beings naturally default to. Really, you know, I was really blessed that our three boards we talked about, you know, what would be good for the community, what would be good for the clients that we're serving. And we have really proven out, you know, the merits of that. You know, we've saved a significant amount of money. Even in the course of the pandemic, we were able to save money on those shared contracts and shared services. And thank God we did, because those dollars immediately went out the door, translated into food. And, you know, Peter, I do think people are more aware of the need to have to merge and collaborate. You know, we're actually working with two other programs in New York State that are trying to investigate doing this very same thing, and about half a dozen other programs across the country that have reached out to us since we announced our merger. So it's so exciting to see that, you know, our little bit of news in this corner of New York is really spurring people on to think about it. If we can't find ways to do things less expensively and, you know, more efficiently, I just don't know how all of these nonprofits or how all of these, you know, human services sectors are really going to be able to succeed and do their jobs. The duplication is simply not going to be sustainable in the long run.
We'll be back with more from Our House to Yours with Tara Ellis after these very important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the ever-improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. You also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, which was recently named a best place to work here in Western New York. We're very proud of that, all of our employees and our sales professionals that made that happen. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to buy the before and live the after by effectively rolling the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, call 633-3700 for details and ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our second look program, You might notice if you watch television at all that there's seemingly a constant barrage of advertisements for various mortgage companies, local and national. And they encourage you to call or go to their website or whatever the case might be. And through that process, you might receive something called a qualification or even a pre-approval kind of document. You want to make sure that you're getting the very best deal possible. The only way to do that is by making sure that someone in that profession takes a second look at it. We do that at Hunt Real Estate. No charge, no commitment whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if we can't beat it in any way, shape, or form, you're going to get a gift certificate anyway. 633-3700 for that second look program. We have a very special show for you today. Live remote is Tara Ellis, who runs an organization called Feed More Western New York. Welcome back, Tara. We do have some texts coming in. Jerry, if you could help us with that. Okay, all right, we don't have anything yet. Okay, great, thanks very much. We're back with Tara Ellis. And Tara, before the break, we were talking about really the great things that you've done in terms of building an efficient organization by merging two organizations, Meals on Wheels and the Food Bank. And you mentioned a few things that have made your organization much more efficient. Still with that, you encountered unprecedented stress this year. And when you were last on, as we were talking about earlier in the show, it really caused an enormous, I guess, really kind of fundamental change really in our community. So many people, as you pointed out earlier, were put in a position where they'd never been before, where they had to turn to another source for assistance. How was your organization structured so that you could scale up to meet that kind of demand? You have employees, and then you have volunteers, and then obviously you have to have donors. How many volunteers, what's the ratio of volunteers to employees to make your organization work?
It's actually pretty startling, Peter. We have just about 153 employees, and the vast majority of them are part-time. So, our employee base is, I would say, extremely modest for the amount of work that we do. But we can only do that because our team includes more than 3,000 volunteers that are working with us, many of them every single day. In fact, last year we had well over 3,000 brand new volunteers, and some of them were short term and some of them, are still with us today. It's kind of all over the board, but reach out to us right away to sign up. And truly, we can't meet our mission literally every day, but there is no way we would have been able to survive that pandemic without those volunteers last year. We took a look at it, and we think that we had volunteers contribute somewhere around 120,000 hours last year to help us to meet our mission. We don't love to put everything in dollars and cents, but we have to, and we are a business that equates to about $3.3 million in value to our organization. $3.3 million we wouldn't have had to be able to spend in paying staff. So our volunteers are absolutely the heart of our mission. Many organizations say that for us, they truly are. They're so essential to what we do, Peter. We have more than 400 of them on the streets every single day out there delivering home-delivered meals, sitting at our front desk, working our phones, wonderful volunteers like Roe and Michael and Nancy and Pat, who are really part of our Feed More family, out there working hard, answering the phone, connecting social work services, in our warehouse, packing out food kits, backpacks, sorting donated product, and boy, do we need donated product right now. I have to put a shout out for anybody making donations of donated product. We're in really bad shape for salvaged food right now.
But what products, Tara, are you looking for?
Pardon me, Peter? I'm sorry.
Which products are you looking for?
We are looking for anything that we would call high-value products, and these are things like peanut butter, canned tuna, canned chicken, canned salmon, vegetables, fruits, granola bars, all of those very, very basic food items that we can pack into emergency food kits and backpacks for our babies. We really just need the basics. Our warehouse right now has never been so low as it currently is on salvaged food. We desperately need those donations. Some of the programs that we used to have for food drives just aren't happening right now because of what's happening with the pandemic. We always had participated in this wonderful program with the U.S. Postal Service, Stamp Out Hunger. We'll where we would collect bags of food from all across our community. And for obvious reasons, it can't happen this year. We will help you with a food drive. If we can get anybody in this community that is interested in helping us, you know, put a barrel out in your business, encourage your friends in your book club, encourage your buddies that you might play a poker game with on a Friday night. We are even willing to come and pick that food up if people can't do it. We are really desperate for those high-value products. And, you know, it might not feel like a lot to you to add a few jars of peanut butter. And, Peter, I don't know if you know this, but your lovely, darling daughter, Lee, actually bought us a whole ton of peanut butter last year. And it was a huge for us. So, you know, people feel like they're making a small contribution. It's not a small contribution for our families. It's what's going to help make sure their children aren't going to bed hungry at night. So food drives this year will be utterly critical for us. We really implore people to reach out to us and talk to us about partnering or coming out and helping us through an Adopt-A-Root program. That's another way businesses can help us. Reach out. If your business can just spare, you know, two people every day for 1 hour to help to deliver that food. And, you know, volunteers and food drives, I think, are going to be a really tremendous push for us this year in 2021. And really, you know, it is every year, but probably this year more than ever, you know, as we struggle to try to make sure that we can continue to provide enough food and continue to provide enough volunteers. April is actually National Volunteer Month. So, you know, we're really excited that we get to celebrate these, you know, these partners that, you know, make everything we do possible. And we hope that some of those new volunteers will reach out to us, you know, and maybe a phone, you know, Peter, we're going to get a chance to get some of those numbers spiking up. We want them to reach out to us at 822-2002 or on our website at www.feedmorewny.org. Go to the volunteer button and they can sign up right online. We try to make it as easy as possible, and we will match them with the right opportunity that matches their time availability, the interests and things that they want to do, whether that's, you know, calling one of our seniors that's stranded in their home to make sure that they know that someone cares about them, going out and delivering a home-delivered meal, working in our warehouse, even working in the office. We have individuals come in and stuff letters for us. Every job that volunteer does is a job that our very small staff doesn't have to get pulled to do, and it lets us continue to feed people every day.
You know, Tara, those numbers are pretty staggering. Your volunteer-to-employee ratio is 20 to 1. That's astounding if you think about that.
It is, and that's why, you know, that's why I say that, you know, our volunteers are not a nice to have. They are a part of the Feed More family. They are a critical part of our tapestry that, you know, is what keeps us going every single day. You know, we want to add and need to add volunteers on a constant basis because, you know, we want to make it fulfilling for them, and it also helps us to meet our mission. It's one of the key ways that we are sustainable. You know, and can operate the way that we do.
We're live remote today with Tara Ellis, who leads an organization called Feed More Western New York, which is a very powerful organization providing an enormous service to Western New York. And Tara, you know, I don't know, we had a little bit of a guffaw there in our production, but I was hoping that we could connect with a caller. Somehow that didn't happen. But what you're doing is allowing people to really focus on the important things in life, their children, the opportunity to get a job. And one of the things that we're trying to do on this radio show is to help people protect and enhance their investment right here in Western New York and all through the markets we serve. People can't buy a house if they don't have a job. And they can't get a job if they have concerns, just basic subsistence concerns. And what you're doing is essential to getting people over that hump so that they can focus on getting a job and really improving their lot in life, which is incredible. You've alluded off and on to the fact that you rely on donors. How is your organization funded?
Our organization is funded in a myriad of ways, Peter, and honestly, we're really happy that it is because the revenue diversification also keeps us on track. You know, we look at, you know, everything that we bring in, you know, also is, you know, bringing in, but also being sure that we're being as cost effective and cost conscious as we can and spreading those dollars as far as we can. So, you know, we have government contracts that we hold for, you know, for some of our programs. You know, as you know, I'm sure you heard about programs like Nourish New York. York, where we were able to have produce and dairy products that we were able to distribute to our community. You know, we have private contracts where we produce food. So we do catering for, you know, adult day programs and nursery school programs. That is a, you know, a small profit-making program that helps us to fund the funding gaps in some of our other programs. Our donors are utterly critical to us. And, you know, this is another shout-out that I have to give in 2020. Our Western New York community, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else on this earth. We had 12,188 new donors last year in 2020. You know, over 12,000 people that had never given us a penny before reached out, and whether they did it on our website or they did it by buying a t-shirt through the Buffalo Strong program, or they, you know, supported us through our plant sale, which we're about to launch again on Monday. So I hope people will go to our website and pull down our plant sale flyer. It doesn't matter how they did it, you know, and whether it was a $5 gift or a $5,000 gift, you know, those 12,000 people also were a critical component in helping to make sure we could continue to buy that food that we needed for people. So, you know, really we try to look at, you know, funding and revenue as, you know, we are not too proud to accept any gift, and an in-kind gift also helped us to get over that hurdle. We talked a little bit about, you know, people doing food drives in their businesses, or, you know, private individuals like, you know, your lovely daughter Lee, who, you know, just walked over to my house and, you know, left groceries at our door for us to be able to bring in, you know, to our families. You know, it doesn't really matter how we secure those in-kind donations. Huge corporations like Rich Products, literally every time they have an overflow or they have a customer who doesn't pick something up, I get a text or a phone call from Rich Products saying, hey, can this help you guys out at all? So, you know, we really look at all as revenue, both as in-kind and as...
Back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the ever-improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the second look program. Call them today, 633-3700. I must apologize for our production issues this morning. It's just we've been having a few issues, and I hope it hasn't disturbed you too much, but we are enjoying it. I am enjoying, anyway, a very important conversation with Tara Ellis, who runs Feed More Western New York, and we've been discussing a wide range of issues relative to the operation of that organization and its impact on our community. And before we kind of went to that break rather abruptly, Tara, you were talking about the extent of donors and the way that people can participate. How could our listeners participate with you today, for example?
Well, you know, truly, Peter, there is so many ways. I mean, all the way from somebody being willing to be an ambassador about our program. If they take what they learned on your show today and they share it with somebody else, we always think our ambassadors are a huge win. That's another individual that might consider doing one of the other ways that you can help us. Share our posts that we put out on social media when we're having a plant sale, a flower, you know, a wreath sale, you know, sharing information about what we do, another fundraiser, Sweet Expectations, that's coming up in May. Push that word out there to their friends, their families, their colleagues. Ambassadors are critical for us. In fact, volunteering. Our volunteers come to us. The number one way they find out about us is word of mouth. From other volunteers, from reading about us in the newspaper. So volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. Corporations and foundations, get behind us with your volunteers. Lend us the talent of your people, please. You know, an hour or two, you know, once a week for someone, you know, might not feel like a lot for a corporation. For us, it's a critical way we meet our mission. Individuals coming out and volunteering. All of that sweat equity, and we will make this job as easy and fun and wonderful for you as possible. That keeps us going. You know, food drives, like I talked about, you know, with corporations and businesses, those food drives are absolutely essential to us. Coming into our warehouse and packing out those emergency food kits. And, you know, Peter, I was remiss in mentioning that, you know, we deliver emergency food kits, you know, quarantine kits to families, 14-day supplies of food. If they are in their home having to recover from COVID, we're bringing them food so that, you know, you or your wife or your grandmother doesn't have to be standing shoulder to shoulder with somebody else that's struggling with COVID. We want them to stay in their home, quarantine for that 14 days until they are well. So come help us pack those boxes out. Donate. You know, go online, www.feedmorewny.org, and consider giving us a donation. Send us in a check. you know, you could scholarship somebody for our home delivered meal program so that, you know, that funding is paid for that individual for a day, a week, a month, or a year. Lots and lots of ways that you can help us. And if you're just not sure what the right fit is for you, give us a call at 822-2002. And we would love to talk to you about the way that you too can become a part of our Feed More family. Volunteer on a committee. Lots and lots and lots of ways that you can help to make sure that you are part of the solution for all of those in Western New York that have to do with less.
You know, Tara, I think all that, I hope people were taking notes as you were talking there, but we can say it again. The number is 822-2002. And also, obviously, go to your website as well. But there are many ways people can help out here. You know, one of the things I guess kind of I'd like to speak a little philosophically here for a second.
Sure.
We're often reminded here in Western New York that we're a poor community. And you said something earlier about the fact that you wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I think there's many of us who feel exactly the same way. Not because of our weather or, you know, our taxation levels or all the things that might be real significant factors for people in terms of where they choose to live, but because of the generosity and the strength of our community, person to person. Just speak a little philosophically about that. You just touched on it lightly earlier, but how important is that to the success of an organization like yours?
It actually is the success of an organization like ours, truly, Peter. And, you know, I mean, we talk so much about numbers and dollars and cents and statistics, but, you know, we're really helping real people. And, you know, some of those real life stories we have, you know, like the grandmother that, you know, I think I've talked to you once about her before that I met out in Chautauqua County, who found herself raising her three grandchildren. And, you know, she and her husband had to start all over and put the pieces back together. She was at our food pantry so that she had enough food to be able to feed these children. Or one of our food pantry clients, Allison, who spent 25 years as a substance abuse and domestic violence counselor and all of a sudden found herself raising a grandchild and needed our help. Or James, one of our home-delivered meal clients, who at 63 years old, after spending his whole career cooking for other children in the Buffalo Public School District, all of a sudden found that he could not feed himself, who's on our home-delivered meal program. It's those individuals that, you know, we touch and serve each day. They are the stories. You know, the numbers are staggering and shocking, but the individuals are the things that, you know, for me, really, you know, very often I find myself welling up in tears when I'm meeting these folks or hearing their stories. And just as important are those loving, kind, compassionate volunteers. I can't tell you how many times I get a note or a phone call from somebody or an email saying, you know, I've been volunteering for you for a year and, you know, I was a little hesitant to do it at first, but I'm in love with my clients. They've become my friends. You know, it's really that compassion and, you know, the passion for other human beings that I think makes what we do every day so fulfilling and so meaningful. And, you know, it might be a heartbreaking scenario at times, but to be able to see that, you know, you are touching someone's life and that you can bring just a little bit of compassion and give somebody some dignity for what might be the hardest time they will ever experience. You know, Peter, something that I just want to, I know we're about to end the show, but, you know, when we're talking about passion and compassion in people, just this week I received a letter in the mail from someone. I never met this gentleman. And he told me that, you know, he found himself on very hard times a number of years ago. He was unemployed. His wife had died. She had suffered from cancer for a long time. He was left raising three little girls all by himself and was really embarrassed that he had to take them to a soup kitchen and that he had to go to a food pantry for handouts, something as basic as toilet paper that, you know, he never thought that he'd be in a position of having to take something from someone else. But he's found his way back on track. And he actually sent us the check that he received, his stimulus check, because he wanted to pay back for, you know, a time in his life when he needed the help himself. And Honestly, it's stories like that that to me, you know, our team might be absolutely exhausted working 6 and 7 days a week and pulling overnighters to make sure they're feeding their neighbors. I hear a story like that and I share it with one of my team members. It keeps them going for another month. That's why we do what we do every day. And those are the types of things that we're doing at Feed More Western New York. And they're the types of people that I hope other generous individuals in our community will help support through a financial donation or a donation of time or the gift of donated food.
You know, Tara, what you're saying is so important. I was listening to a report on television yesterday, and a very learned individual was talking about how divided our country was and how difficult he saw it in us ever reconciling the issues that, you know, that seem to be tearing this country apart. And it's really sad to see that. But when I listen to a story like yours, and I hope all of our listeners are feeling the same thing, it gives me hope, because I believe that it's through organizations like yours and many organizations in our community and all across the country, frankly, where it's person to person, it's one person helping another, giving somebody a break, you know, that, and oftentimes, as you point out, is very difficult for the individual receiving that help to actually kind of swallow their pride and admit that they need help. But it's that kind of thing that I think it gives our whole country hope, and leads me to believe that we'll always be the great country that we are. And I think the political divisions that we have today they've always been there. It's just a matter to what extent. But I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, Tara, because otherwise I'm not sure we'd be the community that we are. I've been traveling lately, and I've seen very affluent communities, and I've seen restaurants full again, and outside of New York State, of course, and the way that people are so anxious to get back in communication with one another. Maybe that's one end of the financial spectrum, but what you're doing is allowing other people to experience that, essentially the same thing, by being able to get back together, working with an organization like yours, reaching out to people in need. But I just like to thank you for what you do, Tara, and as an example of what I think is the best in American society.
Well, I thank you, Peter. We are so grateful that you are giving us this opportunity to spotlight the work that, you know, the amazing volunteers at Feed More and the amazing staff members, you know, who I love, my Feed More family, are doing each day in our community. We thank every volunteer and every donor, and we just ask everyone to please come check us out and, you know, consider being a part of the Feed More family. Again, www.feedmorewny.org. We'd love to welcome you all to be part of what we do each day.
No, it's amazing. I'll give that ratio again. 20 to 1 volunteers to employees. That's amazing that you've been able to harness that manpower in such a way that really leverages a budget to what I'm sure is not, it's never an adequate budget, but whatever budget you're working with, Tara, you've been able to leverage that through the goodwill of the people in this community. And I compliment you and everybody in your organization for the wonderful work you're doing. I'd like to thank you for being with us on this holiday weekend, Tara Ellis, from Feed More Western New York. And I'd also like to thank all of our listeners for being with us today. And I want to wish you all a very happy holiday weekend. If you celebrate Easter, happy Easter tomorrow, and Passover is this past week as well. So I want to hopefully help encourage you to enjoy this time with your family and be grateful for all the blessings that we have in this community. Tara Ellis, thank you again for being with us. This is Peter Hunt. We'll be back in next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.